Go. The first pool I ever swam in was a small cement pool in the garden of my childhood home in Bangkok. I was 3, my sister 5, and my father had decided we were of the age for swimming lessons. He determined the pool's measurements by lying down on the ground and having an oval drawn around him in chalk on the grass, and then arranged for a shallow pool, not more than 18 inches deep, to be built conforming to that circle. Years later, when I was in elementary school in upstate New York and first saw a print of Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, which delineated the proportions of a human being with his legs spread and his arms outstretched, my reaction was one of delight. Here, I thought, is a man who is planning on building a swimming pool for his daughters. Since that time, or perhaps because of it, I've always drawn a connection between the dimensions of a human being and a good swimming pool. A river simply extends the equation. It only made sense then that swimming has always been a way to take measure of experience. So when it began to feel as though my life had been defined by a series of divides, it seemed to be the time to take a swim. A close friend had died, my own half-century mark was a couple of years down the road, and my son's 12-year-old twins were in an adolescent landscape furnished with language, clothes, activities, all incomprehensible to me. For these, there was little to be done. Perhaps for that reason, the idea was growing on me. Find a divide that could be crossed, and more I realized I wanted to swim across the Hudson River. As a swimmer, I've always looked to the Hudson River. I've lived in the Hudson Valley for much of my life, and the wide swath of river has always been at one edge of it or another. Besides, I'm a strong believer in symbolic sports. I find appeal in metaphorical exercise. Swimming across the river was a symbolic way of breaching the divide. It was about nothing more and nothing less than the possibility of getting there, somewhere, from here. And so for the course of one winter, as I did my laps at the local gym, I dreamed of swimming across the Hudson, imagining in the 75-foot pool of tepid water the draw of the river current, the ancient tug of its tides. By late August, though, there were 5 of us. Emily, who was 21 and who just graduated from college that June, Myron, her father, who teaches school, John, an actor from New York City, and his wife, and their 14-year-old son, Sam. Carrie, a friend of Emily's, followed us in her father's 20-foot fiberglass powerboat, Gross Envy, moored in New Hamburg. High tide was at 10:30, and tide would be slack for an hour or so after that. We met at a small scrap of sandy beach near the marina in New Hamburg, a place where the river narrows. The village was built along a slight promontory that juts out into the Hudson, and the river there isn't much more than half a mile wide. But distance across water is always difficult to gauge. Here, the surface of the water was scalloped by the lightest morning breeze, and I could find no reliable measure for the distance. Only a destination on the west bank of the river, directly across from us, was a thin ledge of dust-colored rock just below the tracks. And at the moment, it seemed as good an objective as any. We swam through the tangle of weeds that clogged the shallow water, then past the docks of the marina and into the wide expanse of the river itself. As we swam out into the deeper channel, the water temperature dropped slightly. A slight surface current created by the wind seemed to tug south, but almost unbelievably, the tide being slack, there was no sense of any stronger pull beneath the surface, and the river that flows both ways seemed more a placid lake. In the middle of the river, one's perception of distance, motion, and time all seemed slightly askew. Mid-river is a place of suspension, and one is adrift in every sense. A pleasure boat cruised lazily up the river, but it stayed far to our south, seeming to drift in its own separate waterscape. I've lived in the Hudson Valley for most of my life, but immersed that morning in its essential artery, I felt that I'd finally acquired true citizenship.